can say that today with some assurance that you'll still cling to that old rugged cross. Praise God for the cross.
Wow, what an amazing thing the cross is, where Jesus paid the penalty of all of our sins, past, present, and future, redeemed us from an eternity in hell, and we certainly ought to praise him for it. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, if you'll join me in Hebrews chapter 11. I have to tell you this morning, I am so grateful to our church for your response to our drive for some school supplies over the past week and a half, 2 weeks or so. We were out in town on Thursday evening, and I want to tell you, we just had a wonderful response, and I am so thankful for it. We were trying, even as of that day, to nail down a location somewhere where we could set up where there'd be a bit of traffic and be able to distribute the supplies, and we were having a little bit of trouble getting a location, but finally, Builders Discount Center down here on 301 gave us permission to talk to the manager, and he said, hey, I'd love to help. That sounds like a great cause. Go ahead, set up out here. Well, their parking lot sits a little off 301 there, so we were somewhat hidden, and I completely forgot that Don's Body Shop that is right there on 301 is owned by a man who's a lay youth pastor in Raleigh. And we'd been there for probably 30, 40 minutes, and he drove in his tow truck and rolled down his window and said, guys, just take over my whole lot. Okay, we will. So we moved up front there and had the couple of canopies out there with tables with the school supplies that we were giving out. Each bundle was probably $7 or $8 worth of school supplies that we were giving away, and gave out more than half of what we had, which ended up being probably about 80 or so bundles that we gave away on Thursday evening. But it was just a wonderful thing, especially once we moved up front. It wasn't true the entire time we were there, but there were many times while we were there that we were having to direct traffic a little bit, show them where to park as they were coming in. Brother Gabe and I and a couple of others were kind of waving people down. Some of our teens had poster board, were standing in the middle. No, they weren't in the middle of the road, but they were on the side of the road there with some posters trying to get people's attention, and people were pulling in as some of the others that were there were giving out the bundles and talking with people, inviting them to our church and to our back-to-school bash. And the report that I heard was that several were asking the question, why would you do this? And that's the whole point. Our desire with Purposeful Acts of Love has been to get out into the community, to let them know that we're here, but more so than just get them to church, is to show them practically the love of Jesus Christ. And you know, in today's world, that's an amazing thing. It surprises people. And so I just want you to know my appreciation to you as a church family for getting involved in helping to donate supplies. Many of you who came to help bundle them together on Thursday afternoon, and for those who went out on Thursday evening. In fact, it went so well, we have some leftovers. We're going to do it again this Thursday night. And this time we're going to take over Don's Body Shop from the very get-go. The man's name is Kevin Zander, who's the lay youth pastor, owns that shop. And he told us while we were there, asked, of course, what we were doing and what the purpose was and all of that. And he said, look, anytime you guys want to do something like this again, you let me know ahead of time. I'll advertise for you. He said, let me know if you need to replenish any of the supplies. We'll help you. And so we're going to do it again this Thursday night. We'll be out there again from about 6 o'clock till about 8:30. Giving out the rest of those supplies and just trying to share the love of Christ with people. That's what it's all about, folks. That is what draws people to Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you'll be praying for us and with us as we do that again Thursday. If you can join us, I promise you, it will be an enjoyable time if you can be out there with us Thursday night. I was overwhelmed just seeing people drive in. Of course, if you know that area of 301, we had people heading north into town who would then quick get over to the turn lane and do a U-turn and come back, or people who were heading south out of town who would get in that lane and turn around, rolling down their windows. What are you guys doing? Hey, I'm here for the school supplies. Where do I go? We were just able to accomplish, I think, some very effective things for the cause of Christ. And I hope that you'll join us Thursday, either personally by being there or by praying that God will use that time on Thursday evening. Hebrews chapter 11. I preached about 2 weeks ago or so at Tabernacle Baptist Church on a Thursday night there in Wilson during their July Jubilee that they do there. And Pastor Shakur knew that I've been going through the book of Hebrews this year and asked me over dinner. He said, "So have you made it through yet this year?" I said, "No, I preach like you, so we're not done quite yet." But we're getting there. We've got about 3 chapters left. But as we come to Hebrews chapter 11, many of you are familiar with the theme or the idea of Hebrews chapter 11, many times that we call the Hall of Faith. And so we're going to do, in essence, a mini-series within our broader series in Hebrews on what I'd like to just refer to as authentic faith, real faith for real life. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, there are 2 main parts to this chapter. There is, in the first 3 verses, a description of what faith is. In part is a definition, but really Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 is more a description of what faith is and what faith does. And then in the remainder of the chapter are the demonstrations of faith through these great heroes, we might call them, of the faith, who demonstrated faith in a very real way. And Hebrews chapter 11 is the logical climax to the description of Jesus' superior priesthood that we've studied in chapters 7 through 10. It records this description and demonstrations of authentic faith. This chapter, more than any other in the scripture, declares what a life of faith is all about and what God can do in, for, and through a man or a woman who lives a life of authentic faith. If you want to see what a life of faith is all about, you come to Hebrews chapter 11. And please understand at the outset, this is not about saving faith. Though certainly there are applications, this is about life faith. When we talk about authentic faith, I'm not talking about whether or not you're truly a believer in Christ. Though certainly, if you're here today with a profession but no possession of Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. He's the only way to heaven. But friend, we as believers in Jesus Christ, who have placed, if I can say, saving faith in him, can go on in our Christian life not living a life of faith. That's why back in Hebrews chapter 10, we were reminded from an Old Testament quote, "The just shall live by faith." It's not just come to Christ and place your faith in him for salvation. It's go on in your Christian life living by faith. "For we walk by faith," Paul declared, "not by sight." But I want to tell you, there are a lot of believers who don't live that. There are a lot of believers in Jesus Christ who live by their senses, what they can see, what they can hear, what they can feel, rather than living by faith in Jesus Christ. As we come to Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to focus on that description of faith found in verses 1 through 3. So if you would, follow along as we read Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll pray and ask God for his help this morning. Notice the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of gathering around the Word of God, Lord, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, who went to the Mount Calvary that we believe in, was nailed to that old rugged cross to pay for our sin. And we thank you for the salvation that we have in him. And Lord, as we come today to be challenged by the Word of God, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our understanding, that we might truly get a glimpse of what authentic faith, living by faith, is all about. And I ask you this morning, Lord, that you would use the Word of God to challenge our hearts, to bring conviction where it is needed, to bring encouragement where it is needed. And may we respond in obedience to the Word as it is proclaimed. Fill me with your Spirit and power. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. And may not one word fall to the ground. And we will praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. As we come to Hebrews chapter 11, this passage describes what we might call common faith as well as Christian faith. Faith in general is exercised by every man each day. Do you understand that every one of us exercise faith in multitudes of ways every single day? And that's true of everyone around us. Every single person that you work with, every single neighbor that you have, every person that you come across each and every day exercises faith in some way. You walked into this building this morning. I dare say you did so with faith that this building would not collapse on your head. You walked in here in faith. And that happens every day of our lives in so many different variations. This passage, as it begins to describe faith, you can find some applications in which it just describes that kind of faith. Faith that all of us exercise every single day. However, it is Christian or a true biblical faith that must be practiced authentically if we would experience what God can do in, for, and through us, as is demonstrated here in Hebrews 11. In other words, this is not just about living in faith. It's not just about making sure that you're practicing that faith that every man practices each and every day of his life in so many different ways. This passage shows us what God can do in, for, and through a person who lives according to true biblical faith in God and in our Savior Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand today, even before we begin to look at the demonstrations of faith, that every one of us can experience what the individual spoken of in this passage experienced. We can all experience God doing amazing and impossible things in, for, and through our lives if we live with authentic faith. You say, Pastor, what is authentic faith? Faith has been defined in so many different ways. Sometimes we refer to faith as belief, and certainly belief is included, but faith, authentic biblical faith, is so much more than that. I love the way that Warren Wiersbe defined faith. He said, true Bible faith is obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or consequences. Think about that for just a moment. True Bible faith is obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or consequences. Just let that simmer for a moment. Just roll that around in your mind and think through that. Many times we think of faith simply as belief. But I believe that as you study the scripture, you will find that it is so much more than that. Practically then, here's what faith looks like. God speaks his word and we hear it. And by the way, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is seen in this. God speaks his word and we hear it. The person who practices authentic faith hears God's word and acts on it no matter what. The circumstances may be impossible. The consequences may be frightening. But he obeys God's word, trusting that God will do what is right and what is best. That is what true, biblical, authentic faith looks like. I trust God and his word. And I fall in obedience to God's word as I hear his word, no matter what the circumstances are and no matter what the consequences may be. I believe the best Bible illustration of that is found in Daniel chapter number 6. If you remember the story, the background of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was an older man at that time. He had served God faithfully all the years that he was in Babylon. Some of the other leadership grew very jealous of Daniel. And in their jealousy, they came to the king, King Darius, and they said to Darius, let's establish this law. Let's establish a law that no one can pray to anyone except you for 30 days. And they knew, the Bible declares, they knew that they would only find fault in Daniel as it applied to the law of his God. He had that kind of a testimony. So there was Daniel. The Bible is clear that he knew the law had been written. It wasn't just that he went into his room and was caught in ignorance. Daniel knew that the writing had been signed. And yet he continued to go into his room 3 times a day and didn't hide away. He opened his windows to Jerusalem, which was his habit, which was Old Testament and biblically accurate. That's what he was supposed to do in captivity. And he prayed 3 times a day. Those other leaders, they saw this and immediately brought the report to King Darius. King Darius, who could not change the law according to their own laws, was forced to follow through and throw Daniel into the den of lions. You know the story. Daniel is there in the den of lions all night long. God sends an angel to clamp the mouths of the lions shut. And the next morning, Darius comes very early and cries out and says, Daniel, is the God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel cried out and said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he's shut the lions' mouths, and there's been no harm to me. Darius then went forth and commanded that they drop something down into the lion's den to bring Daniel up. Daniel 6:23 records these words. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Listen, because he believed in his God. You know, when you come to Daniel 6:23 and you're reading through it, you might expect to find that no manner of hurt was found upon him because he obeyed God. That might be what you would expect to find, but that's not what it is. It says no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. That, my friends, is authentic faith. A man who believed God. He trusted God. But he didn't just trust God when things were easy. When the circumstances were against him. When the consequences were frightening. And I don't know about you, but this morning I have to say, if you threatened me with being cast into a den of lions, I would be a little scared. How about you? That's a little frightening to me. I remember many years ago, I was just a young boy, and we were at a zoo, and I don't remember, it must have been Madison Zoo up in Wisconsin. That's where we often were, and I got really scared of the lions. Part of it was, and I don't know if they still have this today, But part of it was there was a little section where you were almost above the lions. And I felt as if for a moment I was going to fall into the lion's den there. And that scared me to death. It's a frightening thing. But here was Daniel. No matter what the circumstances were, no matter how frightening the consequences were, Daniel believed and obeyed God. A.W. Tozer said this, "The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin." Faith and obedience go together. As we look to Hebrews chapter 11, perhaps the key to authentic faith is found in verse number 27. Look at Hebrews 11:27 for just a moment. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured." Read the last part of the verse out loud with me, would you? "As seeing him who is invisible." I think perhaps this is the key to authentic faith, as seeing him who is invisible. You see, faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that would seem to contradict it. There is, in Hebrews 11:27, a demonstration of faith. You know, there Moses had left Egypt to follow, to be with God's people. He forsook the riches of Egypt for the esteem of the riches that were in Christ. How could he make such a decision? He couldn't see Christ. He couldn't see God. But by faith, he saw him who is invisible. Listen again. Faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it. In other words, faith is obedience to God's word, no matter what the circumstances, and no matter what may be the consequences. That is true, authentic faith. Do you know that there is little more important to the believer than authentic faith? As you look through life, there is very little that you can find that would be more important to our lives than authentic faith. That's the message of Hebrews chapter 11, especially in verse number 6, which we know so well, which the Bible declares, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." My friend, that is written to and for believers, speaking of authentic faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We as believers in Jesus Christ cannot live a victorious Christian life, cannot live a life pleasing to our Heavenly Father apart from faith. But we see it so many other places in the Scripture as well. We read one of those passages earlier in the service in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. As it's giving that list of armor which we're told we're to take on to ourselves that we might be victorious against the attacks of our enemy, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, that ye may be able to stand," that ye may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. My friend, Satan is launching darts at us day after day after day. He is attacking your mind. He is attacking your heart. He is attacking your flesh with deception and with temptation that looks good. And the Bible is clear to us that if we're going to withstand and if we're going to have victory in the face of that deception and temptation, it takes faith. True, authentic faith. Hold your place in Hebrews 11 and look at another passage that speaks to us of the importance of authentic faith. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. and look at verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In this text, the word victory means conquest or the means of success. We win the victory. We claim the victory by our faith. The truth is, we find in Romans chapter 8 that through Jesus we are more than conquerors. My friend, that is who we are. We don't always live like conquerors, but through Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors. Do you know what that means? That means we have not won a victory by the smallest margin of victories. When the Bible says we are more than conquerors, it means we have crushed the enemy. We have won a great victory. We have won a just landslide victory. That's what we are in Jesus Christ. But the Bible declares to us in 1 John chapter 5 that the way that we live like the conquerors that we are is by our faith. We are not conquerors just as we sit and go through life. We live as the conquerors Jesus made us when he gave himself for us, by faith, living out the conquerors that we are is empowered by faith. Every person exercises faith every day. But faith, generally speaking, is not what produces what Hebrews 11 declares. I want to remind you that believers and everybody comes to Christ the same way, by faith. You may have had different circumstances surrounding your salvation experience, but you came to Christ the same way I did, by faith. I don't know when it happened for you. It happened for me January 19th, 1996, when I fell under conviction, recognized I was a sinner lost and on my way to hell, and I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, your circumstances may have been different, but you came the same way. We all come to Christ by faith. But listen, not all believers experience life in Christ, seeing what God can do in through and for them because of a failure to practice authentic faith in their daily lives. You understand that this morning? We all came to Christ the same way, by faith. But we all don't live the same lives in Christ. Not all of us experience what God can do in, for, and through us because we do not practice authentic faith in our lives. With that introduction, Gabe and Jay are laughing because they've heard my dad preach for an hour and then say something like that. I will be brief this morning. I want to show you three traits. I'll be brief from here on out anyway. I want to show you three traits of authentic faith in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. There are three words or phrases that summarize these traits. They were the words underlined when we read the scripture. The first is that word substance, which I'd like to look at as confidence. Notice what the Bible says again in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance literally means to stand under or a support. It's used in many applications for that which gives support for something. For example, think of what a foundation means to a house. How do you suppose your house would go through a strong storm? Say when we have one of our tropical storms come through, one of our hurricanes come through, even a storm like we had just a couple of nights ago through the night. How would your house stand through a storm like that if you did not have a foundation? In fact, let's be honest. If your kids are as crazy as mine, I'm not sure your house would last without a foundation just because of your kids. Without that foundation, a house is a very poor structure. But with that foundation comes strength and support and help and firmness. Here's what the Bible declares. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, if you will. Faith gives support. Faith is confidence. Faith takes that which is unseen and gives it reality. My friend, I can tell you this morning, I have not seen God. I have not seen with these eyes Jesus Christ. I have not seen with these eyes heaven. I have not seen with these eyes the mansions of gold. I have not seen with these eyes the roads that are paved with gold. I have not seen with these eyes the crystal sea. I have not seen with these eyes the trees with the fruit, one each of the different month. I've not seen with these eyes the gates and the walls of heaven. I've not seen with these eyes the New Jerusalem. I've not seen with these eyes all the treasure and all the reward and all that is in store in heaven for me. But my friend, listen to me this morning. Faith gives reality to that which is unseen. Faith is my confidence that all that I have been promised, I will experience. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? Hebrews chapter 6, back in that passage, spoke to us about what we have in Christ and the inheritance we have in Him. Hebrews 6 and verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 19 of that same chapter, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. My friend, I've not seen Jesus. I've not seen God with these eyes or heaven or all that waits for me there. But faith gives sight and reality to that which I haven't seen. It's my confidence that all that He has promised me, I will experience. And understand, faith is not just an intellectual assent, because these things hoped for cannot be tested or proved in a lab. You can't prove Jesus Christ and the efficacy of His blood sacrifice in a lab. You can't prove, per se, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a lab. You can't prove the existence of heaven in some scientific experiment. So faith isn't just intellectual assent. My friend, if it could be proved, there'd be no need for faith. If I could see Jesus Christ with my eyes and see the efficacy of His shed blood and see Him walk out of the tomb, that is not faith. Faith gives reality to what is unseen. It's a willingness to trust or cling to something, yet it is not an unreasonable faith. It's not an unreasonable thing. Do you know that even those who dispute the Bible, who dispute what the Bible teaches about certain things, like the example we find in verse 3. Look down to verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The end of the verse simply telling us that all that we see came from nothing. God spoke the worlds into existence by the power of Himself. He didn't take things and put them together and create something. It was all out of nothing. Those who dispute the Bible and dispute, like what is found in verse 3, the origin and the order of the universe, God's created universe, they also have to exercise faith. The Big Bang can't be proved in an experiment, in a scientific lab. There's still faith there. But we believe our faith in the Bible is a reasonable faith. And when I look around at a created universe, it tells me there's a creator. When I see design, it tells me there is a designer. When I look at even the history of man, I can see evidence of the handiwork of God even as I look at history. It's not an unreasonable faith. It is a very reasonable faith. I love how one writer put it. He says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Authentic faith is about confidence. Notice, secondly, authentic faith is about conviction. The writer of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence literally means proof. It is that which makes someone fully agree, understand, and realize the validity or truth of something. If you were to make a statement to a person who didn't quite believe you, they might say something to this effect. Prove it, right? I make some statement. Hey, you should have seen my last fishing trip. I caught this fish and it was that big. It's that long. And likely someone's going to say to me, prove it. I might go hunting out in the woods somewhere. And for those of you who don't know, I know we have a lot of hunters here. I've never gone hunting, okay? It's not that I've never had a desire to. I've just never gone hunting, okay? But if I were to tell you, I'm going to go hunting. And I go hunting for the first time, and I come back and tell you, I shot a 20-point buck. Someone would say, prove it. Now you say, that would never happen. I visited a church in Ohio. And the pastor there was an elder man, and he had a man at his church who hunted his whole life. And the pastor had never been hunting, and for years, this church member who'd always hunted been after the pastor to go hunting with him. Finally, the pastor relented and went hunting. And he came back after his first hunt and shot the record-holding buck for the state of Ohio. You say, no, it's hanging on the wall in his office at the church. I saw it. He proved it. That church member never wanted to take him hunting again, but he had the proof. It was there. That's what evidence speaks of. Proof, something that gives you the validity of what is being said. But understand, when we come to this thought in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible here is still speaking of faith. Here, evidence relates to and builds on substance, all right? So substance is that foundation, if you will. It is the confidence. Substance deals with faith as a state of being. In other words, I have confidence. I have faith. Evidence deals with faith in action. Substance is just that simple thought, I have faith. Evidence is the performance of faith. It is a conviction that what God has promised, He will perform. And that conviction, believing God, what He's promised He will do, that conviction motivates my performance for my Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me show you an example of what I mean. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. So progress through the thought. Substance is that foundation. It's the state of being. I have faith, confidence. Evidence is proof, if you will. It's the performance, the conviction of my faith. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, I think we find a good example. The Bible, who in verse number 7 presents the context of Jesus Christ, in verse 8 says, whom having not seen, I haven't seen him with eyes, my temporal eyes, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet what? Believing, this is believing true authentic faith, the believer who is living by faith in God, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So catch what the Bible says. You have not seen Jesus Christ, yet you love him. You still don't see Jesus Christ, yet you believe in him, you have confidence, and your faith is demonstrated in the fact that you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the conviction, the performance. By the way, the context of 1 Peter chapter 1 is trials. And he says there, in essence, even in the midst of trials, because you believe, you can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the confidence, the faith, followed through with conviction, performance. Go back to the definition. True Bible faith is what? Obedience to God's word, no matter the circumstances or the consequences. If I have authentic faith, if I am living as a believer by faith each and every day, if I can say it this way, my faith will be proved by what I do. Does that make sense to you? My faith will be demonstrated by my life. Your obedience to God or lack thereof relates directly to your faith or lack thereof. When the Word of God tells you to share the name of Christ, and as you share the name of Christ, you'll bear fruit. My friend, your obedience to soul winning or lack of obedience in soul winning ultimately is a matter of your faith or lack of faith. When the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, your obedience in giving or lack thereof is directly related to your faith or lack thereof. And we could go on and on with example after example of that truth. Your obedience and your faith go hand in hand. There's a confidence. There's a conviction in authentic faith. Notice thirdly and finally, there is a confirmation in authentic faith. Look at verse number 2 of Hebrews 11. The Bible says, for by it, what is it? Faith. For by it, for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. If you would, turn over to Acts chapter 16. We'll conclude there. Acts chapter 16 for an example of what it means to obtain a good report. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible is speaking about Paul. I think that's what it was. I was combining Bible and Paul. The Bible is speaking about Paul coming to Derbe and Lystra, and this is when he meets Timothy. The Bible says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, notice, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy was well reported of. Can I tell you just very simply what that means? Timothy had a good testimony. Timothy had a good testimony, and that good testimony was witnessed by others, and they witnessed to Paul of Timothy's good testimony. He was well reported of. In Hebrews chapter 11, when the Bible says that by faith, by it, the elders obtained a good report, the context of Hebrews 11 indicates that those who demonstrated lives of authentic faith are the elders that are referred to. When you read elders in verse number 2, it's talking about the list of those that it's going to give us in the remaining part of the chapter. Each of these obtained a good report from God on account of their faith. That is, God gave them a positive testimony in their lives because of faith. God testified in Hebrews chapter 11 of these individuals because of their faith. What was that? That was confirmation. It was confirmation that they were living lives of authentic faith. It was confirmation that God was doing something in, for, and through them because of their faith. want you to listen to me this morning. God will do no less for men and women of faith today. If you are an individual who lives a life of authentic faith, this confidence and conviction, God will give confirmation in your life by what he does in, for, and through you as you live a life of authentic faith. You say, Pastor, I've never experienced God doing something in, for, and through me. Then, my friend, my question to you would be, are you living a life of authentic faith? Are you living a life of faith, walking with God in Jesus Christ, faith in the Word of God that leads to obedience no matter the circumstances or the consequences? Are you living that life each and every day? I love what Wiersbe said. He said, faith enables us to understand what God does. Verse 3 says that, through faith we understand. He went on to say, faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. My friend, can I ask you this morning, as we step into Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter of authentic faith, real faith for real life, can I ask you this morning, are you living a life of authentic faith? Complete trust and confidence in God and his word day by day, a conviction of your faith that leads to obedience and sees the confirmation of it as God blesses your life, does things in, for, and through you on account of your faith. Are you living a life of authentic faith? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? So thankful for the Word of God and how it can speak to our hearts. I wonder if there's a believer here today who'd say, Pastor, God has dealt with my heart today about my faith. Yes, I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted and am trusting that Jesus died for my sin, was buried, and rose again. But I am struggling with just day by day faith, authentic faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing his word and following through in obedience no matter what. God's dealing with my heart about that today. I'm just lacking in trust. That's you. Would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that's me. God's dealing with my heart about authentic faith. Many hands. Anyone else? Pastor, God's dealing with me. Many hands. You can put them down. My friend, if God is dealing with your heart this morning, in just a moment when the invitation's given, I'm going to ask you to come. Find a place at the altar. Speak to the Lord about that this morning. Perhaps you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Willard, I've listened to the message this morning and God's dealt with my heart. It's not about living a life of faith. It's about placing my faith and trust in Christ. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I died today that I'd spend eternity in heaven. That's you, friend. I'd like to pray for you today. I'll not call you out. I won't embarrass you in any way. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor Willard, I don't know that I'm saved, and I'd like you to pray for me, would you just slip up your hand as no one else is looking around? Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, I am asking you to speak to hearts. As you work in believers' hearts, help us to respond in faith, to come to an altar and speak to you, to deal with that business that you're doing in our hearts. And I do pray that if there's one among us that does not know Christ, that they too would come forward and that they would make today their day of salvation. And we'll praise and thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet?